And welcome back to the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I am Chadley. I am your host, and I am joined with two other coasters. I got Jim over on the counselor's couch and the broker Dale out on the East Coast. How you guys feeling?
Doing good today.
Feeling good.
All right. Unfortunately, Chip is Subaru shopping, so the delivery man will not be with us unless he can jump on late. He's got the link. We'll see if he can make his way over. But we got a pretty short show today, although there's a biggest event that's going to come around coming right up this weekend, and that is the Super Bowl. And afterwards, we've got a little bit of Browns talk, because how long can we go without that? A week, maybe? Probably we should go longer, but we don't. So we'll start off with the Super Bowl. We'll get into some Browns unrestricted free agents and some salary cap stuff, a couple little headlines for the week, and then we will send you guys off to enjoy the biggest game of the year. You guys got any big Super Bowl plans?
Probably just sitting at home, making some appetizers, and, you know, that's about it. I can really do much with a one-year-old.
We have one of Laura's friends from back in Pennsylvania. He actually lives down here by us. So her and her husband, their kids are going to come over, and we'll just let the kids annihilate our basement and deal with that later. probably try to order some food, maybe make some things. But
okay. As you know, I'm out here in Never Never Land, so as if I was a 20-something-year-old, I will still be going to a Super Bowl party. As the day I end this diet, although I'm probably just going to piggyback right into another one. I didn't get that skinny. I'm still kind of a porker. But I'll be eating. Yeah, I lost maybe 5-6 pounds. But I'll see how many of that I can gain back at the Super Bowl party with all the food everybody brings and a couple of beers. But, yeah, it should be fun. There's going to be a pretty good group, and a buddy of mine has his house for the first year, and he's excited to have some people nice. Over, and yeah, he's excited to host a little bit. I've been doing the Super Bowl party here for too many years, and that's now all shit, of a sudden all of a sudden I don't have the space. I'm the one with the smaller area, so
yeah. I remember we did,
if you
we
just
did
combined the square footage of all of your properties, it would be fine.
Yeah, if we could just put that in the same zoom. Place.
You
for
can
a short
zoom.
Of time.
Yeah, put different people in different places, zoom it all in.
Yeah, you guys meet at this one and just let yourselves in. No one will be there.
Get with the freaking program.
It'll be fun. It was funny when we had the biggest apartment, and most of my friends lived in OB. So it was easiest just to say, we're going to throw it on a TV or two here. Come on over. And now friends live all over the city. And a couple, two or three of my friends have houses with a pretty decent yard. So it's kind of a win situation. And it gets the pressure off of me to actually host it. And thank God, because we're still dealing with that flood. The whole house is still getting rebuilt right now.
Jesus.
Still working on getting that sink back.
Yeah, so we finally have our sink installed today, and they are putting in flooring. And the guy just decided, you know what, I'm going to put in flooring in every room. So it just is even and matches, and I can check and make sure there's no moisture under the carpet or mold or anything. And so,
wait, so he ripped up every single ounce of flooring in your apartment.
The living room is gone. The bathroom is gone. Both of the bedrooms carpet are gone. And the only thing remaining is the kitchen, which, to be honest, we are trying convince him to be gone.
Yeah, so no, that's
it
the
has
one
to
thing
go
most.
The- Yeah,
the kitchen tile was there before they built the apartment.
Yeah, I was like, if you can find a way to get rid of this kitchen floor, even though it wasn't affected by the flooding, that would be for the best. So
it was like 14 square feet.
Never came clean.
$8 worth of tile.
No, it's impossible. The grout looks like it's 70 years old, and the tile is chipped and terrible. It's the worst tile ever.
You can spend a whole day cleaning it, and it'll never look different.
Right. I totally agree. It's the worst, and you almost need to, you know, somehow laser out the staining and in that white tile. I hate it, but we'll see. We'll see what we can work. We're going to buy the guy
Drop a dumbbell a little, on it.
Yeah, we're gonna buy the guy a little present and see if we can convince him to.
I wouldn't buy him shit, change. Man. It's his job.
Well, somebody has to pay for it though, and we don't want to. So we'll see. Anyways, so it would have been a catastrophe if we had to have people over this weekend. We would have just had to cancel. So thank goodness that is not the case for the first time in a really long time. So moving on to the Super Bowl, let's check out this matchup. So is there anything in this matchup before we just kind of go through offense and defense that we want to touch base on?
I think a big focal point is going to be Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd going to have some big games.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Ramsey, I would imagine, is probably going to follow Chase around, right? Or do you think they're just going to line him up?
I think he's going to follow him. I mean, yeah, Chase will get some love out of it. I mean, he may break a few, but it ain't going to be the Ja'Marr Chase show.
What they tried to do in Kansas City, right? That Higgins was a huge piece of that game because they were trying so hard to double and shut down Chase.
Yeah, I actually played props exactly like that scenario, Jim. Just get the overs on Boyd and Higgins because they're lower than Chase. And Chase is still a rookie too, right? Like it's, he's a bona fide stud. Like that's very apparent. Yeah,
he's a superstar.
But you know what, man? He's super young and Jalen Ramsey has the biggest mouth out of anybody. He's going to get so frustrated and penalized. Like it's going to be nuts. Ramsey's going to throw him off his game.
And Chase, all the Chase hype is like way overshadowed Higgins. And yeah, he's behind Chase, but he's not far behind him. Like he is legit. So well, I could see that.
I just decided to open up the PFF matchup page, which I love, and it just lines up either offense versus either defense, and you can pick whether you want to go two tight ends or three wide receivers, and then the defense will match. So essentially, I have the Bengals lined up in a three wide receiver set, obviously, so Boyd and Chase and Higgins can be out there together, and then the Rams are in their nickel personnel. The obvious matchup is Chase at an 84.5, which was the seventh highest graded receiver in the league, which is just, man, you want to talk about a kid that didn't even play before this season coming in and then just bounces his way into a top 10 receiver role immediately. What, man, the kid's a stud, and it sucks because I was really hoping he was a little more hype than substance, but he's got it. And then you look at Jalen Ramsey. Across from him is the number one cornerback out of 120 in the league. And so you really have a monster matchup because I think even though Chase is the number one cornerback, receivers and the offense has an advantage in football. It's just the way the game is designed now. Mm-hmm. So the number one corner over the number seven receiver is really probably still in Chase's favor, but I think you're right, Jim. I think Ramsey's going to give him all he's got and frustrate him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to see some things he hasn't really had to deal with yet. To your point, Dale, Higgins is the ninth ranked receiver, which you're right. That was done so quietly because of Chase.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that close.
I didn't think he was top 10.
Yeah. Scoring wise. I mean, maybe not in yards, maybe not in fantasy, but PFF scoring has him as an 83.5, just two spots.
He's good, man.
You almost forget how good he is. He was a high second round pick, and he was.
He's expected on my dynasty team.
speaking of that, Dale, when you when I wanted Burrow from you, and you're like, "Give me Chase," are you just gonna have all three of the Bengals receivers?
Whatever I can do to get Chase and have all of the Bengals receivers in Burrow, that's what I'm gonna run with. I'll do it.
I got to tell you, it's a decent strategy given what the Bengals offenses look like lately. Man,
in the other fantasy league that Chip and I are in, like the local one, Mitch, he has he pretty much had every Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and it was an awesome strategy. He like whooped everyone's ass.
His stacking works. Yeah, you're gonna lose some games, but those wins are correlated.
Dude, he had Brady, Godwin, Fournette, Gronk.
Yeah.
Evans, I think.
I don't know. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. So I think you guys are right. I think the receiver and the cornerback matchup is big, and we haven't even gotten to Tyler Boyd, who is ranked a little bit more of a reasonable score at 70. But you're looking at that versus, you know, the third corner, the nickel or a drop down safety in this game, and that's still a pretty good match, mm-hmm. because outside of Ramsey, I won't say that there's not great players on the Rams, but there is a huge drop off in the secondary.
But but that was their plan, right? Like, the Rams are stars and scrubs. That's how they manage their cap.
Sort of.
That's how they manage their team. It's not like the Bengals defense, right? Like, the Bengals defense is a B minus to a B plus across the board.
Yes,
but like, they don't have those top guys. But they also, they don't have liabilities, and the Rams do. So they're two very different teams just from a roster construction standpoint, which I think makes it pretty interesting too. But yeah, when you
what makes up for that though, they do have their liabilities in the secondary, but their defensive front is so strong that you can take that chance because those guys get in and pressure the quarterback that, you know, they don't really have to do the heavy lifting in the backfield.
And on the defensive side, Jim, you're right. That's where the studs are. Von Miller, who I thought was kind of towards the end of the road, is not. He ended the season with a 90 grade and was fourth in the league as far as grading. And statistically, he's really been a lot better.
And I think most places have him. I think most places have him marked as like a top. Some won, but at least a top couple free agent. Like, he is up there in the free agent class.
I think people thought because he had a slower year that maybe this was towards the end, but I think he is revitalized as ever, and he is the fourth ranked.
Did you see that shit he said? He's like, there was an, you know, I'm forever a Bronco. I just happen to work in Los Angeles right now. Like, fuck you, dude.
Some of these guys are so savvy. Not to get too far off track, but listening to Joe Burrow pander to all the Ohio State fans and stuff over the last week, like, I'm forever a Buckeye. It's like,
he's like, I don't get why they, like, I'm a Tiger. Like, I don't get why they claim me. Which I thought was interesting.
Because in that one interview, he said, I'll always be a Buckeye because I graduated from there. And everyone grasped on that and is like, he's a Buckeye. And I was joking around at Twitter because I was like, I can guarantee no Buckeye fan has made a tweet or a mention of Joe Burrow at any time while he was an actual Ohio State Buckeye. All there is out there is when he's winning championship for LSU going, how did we let this guy leave Ohio State? It's like, and all of a sudden, all these Buckeye fans are like, dude, it's Joe Burrow, man. We've always been Joe Burrow guys. Like, come on.
Dale, did you see you can buy, like, you know how they do the t-shirts that look like jerseys? You can buy a Joe Burrow Athens High School shirt.
Taking my money right now. I knew that link coming as soon as the podcast is over.
I'll have to find it. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, so for all the fresh new Cleveland Bengals fans out there, that's an option for you. A ton of my friends are really going big for the Bengals, by the way, for a bunch of different reasons. I feel like everyone recently has some connection to Athens or Cincinnati or the Buckeyes that just comes out in Joe Burrow and Cincinnati Bengals fandom.
And okay. It's like, I mean, aside from being division rivals, like, I don't know. It's hard not to root for, like, the team that was literally pegged by everyone, including us, to be fourth in the division.
Yeah.
And a coach who was, like, on the hot seat, right? Like, last year people were calling for his head.
Yeah, because he had, like, four wins in 3 years.
Yeah, and they're the Bengals. Like, they don't win anything. Like, I don't, like, how does most of the country not root for them over the kind of quote-unquote super team, we're just gonna grab everyone? Like, yeah, people are rooting for the Bengals. Like, it makes perfect sense. It's not surprising in the least bit.
I think people are just tired of, like, the Hollywood shit. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. Tired of having Hollywood and LA everything you are, down my throat.
You are definitely more tired of Hollywood than the general public, that's for sure. But
even the stuff like Chase and Burrow and their dads, like the Super Bowl is always about the Super Bowl is always about storylines.
The Bengals are a fun team.
There's good one. They're so fun.
Yeah.
Dude, we only get Browns games, Bengals games. You only get our division games, which sucks because I'd like to watch Bills games. But, I've found myself watching Bengals games more than, you know, a lot of the other ones. I've watched more Bengals games than I probably did Browns games.
Yeah, that's weird. But, yeah, okay. it's probably more fun football.
It is. And that's
yeah, – if you like good football, and your options are those two teams, like, let's be realistic here.
Yeah, it was
like,
definitely more fun football this year.
Yeah.
Well, we got ourselves off track, but I don't hate it. It's kind of the reality of the situation right now is the Bengals are kind of just taking over the state for a while here. So it's a Cinderella story if there ever was one, and Joe Burrow is at the head of it, leading this team. So that brings me to my next matchup. I think maybe the biggest matchup of this whole game is Joe Burrow versus front. Yeah, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and the defensive front.
That's a big one.
The Rams. And it's really a matter of, I'm not even going to say the offensive line versus the defensive line, because we know who's going to win that battle. The question will be, can Joe Burrow find ways to make plays after the defensive line of the Rams break their way through? And I think that's going to be really the story of this game, whether the Bengals offense can run, you know, whether you get to utilize Mixon, who's another just outstanding player, because you have the ability to, because Burrow's not just getting, you know, kicked on his ass for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to be intrigued to see what they do with Mixon in the passing game, with letting them rush, trying to get them to overcommit and throwing screens and dump offs. I know those receivers are young and not the best at blocking downfield, but I'm very much intrigued to see what Mixon can do here. I think they're going to have to get the ball to him a decent amount and maybe control the game. But if Burrow's getting killed, which is very much on the table,
he did against the Titans, and really it could look like that again.
Mm-hmm.
He got hit.
Worse. Like it, realistically, I mean, I don't. Is anyone going to be surprised if Burrow gets sacked like six times and just gets
I think they might be better schemed for it this week. Is the only thing they've got going for them is they have 2 weeks. They know the opponent. When it came to the, you know, Texans, they were trying to scrap past the Raiders or the Titans. They were scrapping past the Raiders the week before, and it, you know, put them on a little less time to try to figure out how the heck to deal with that. And you're right, this is a better defensive front, but maybe they can scheme something. Shotgun. I don't know. You brought up a good point though too. Besides Mixon, who should be a big weapon for them, if their tight end, if Uzoma can make it back onto the field with that knee injury, he's probably somebody they're going to be looking to also to clear that part of the field and keep the Rams defense honest. But we'll see. I mean, him and Higby are coming back from essentially the exact same injury. How freaking crazy is that? They both went out of the last game 2 weeks ago with the same knee injury, and it's for both of them a knee injury that you can return to limited. And they're both such essential
Higby's
parts of the
offense. Higby's not looking good, but Uzoma just said yesterday, like, I'm not missing the biggest game of my life.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that sounds pretty locked in. That came right out of his mouth.
Yeah, my question would be, I'm sure he's going to play. My question Higby would be whether he's got it.
Good.
Yeah, how much, you know, what's he actually going to be able to do?
And so I hadn't heard that about Higby either. I'm curious to see how that all plays out, because I hadn't heard. I did hear Uzoma say he was going to play. I hadn't heard anything from Higby except for his day-to-day. But it'll be tough. He can't go. Although his fill-in did an admirable job. It's definitely a drop-off. I can't even think of his name off the top of my head.
Can't help you there.
Yeah, I can't. I just, it's like, it's not coming to me. But so switching sides of the ball, I think where we looking at the matchups on the other side, I think the obvious one is you got Awuzie and Apple trying to keep up with what Beckham and Cup, and for that matter, Van Jefferson.
Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task for the cornerbacks, even as good as they are on the other side of the ball either. So
I wish, you know, I had half of the confidence that Eli Apple has on things that he does in football.
It's a tribute to have that kind of confidence given, I won't say he didn't make some plays in the playoffs, but given his career and even his year in general, wow. It's almost as if, like, there's something wrong with him.
it's like Dion Waiters on steroids. Like, it's so impressive. Like, I love the Dion Waiters, like, give me the ball. It's like, yeah. No, I'm not doing that. But, like, him just, like, taking to social media and, like,
yeah,
taunting and much else. And it's just like...
And you're talking about a guy. So I'm looking at his, I just clicked on his profile and on Pro Football Focus. This guy is Pro Football Focus scores. And remember, people were just talking about him as a bust. His Pro Football Focus scores from the last 6 years tell the exact same story. Give it a shot. Where do you think he lands?
64.
Was his highest of all time. Yes. In 2017 and 18, and then he dropped to a 63 and 19, a 55 and 20, and a 61 this year. So you're looking at a guy who is replaceable starter. I mean, yeah, that was a good guess. You're looking at a very replaceable starter who's talking the most on that side of the football. I think it's funny.
And his fourth team is a first round pick. Like, let's be realistic.
He's been marked a bust more than one time already. It's like, yeah, he's a bust here. But, and then you have Awuzie, who's a legitimate star, seems much quieter to me. But his score is 78, 64. His lowest score is basically Eli's highest, 72, 75. But he had a great year this year, too. The one thing I'll give Eli Apple is he really has made a few coverage plays in the playoffs. So at least he's trying to back up his mouth a little bit. So I have to appreciate that, but I agree with you. It's like the sheer, like, gall of being that chatty when you've been so mediocre is awesome. I wish I had that superpower. So looking at the Rams, the offensive line is fair. My worry would be as good as Whitworth has been, he's an old dude who looks like an old dude on an old team. The guy's older than me. I mean, that's not a good age for a football player. And really, unless you're a Tom Brady, that's a tough position to be in. But somehow he is holding down one bookend, and the rest of the line is solid enough for Stafford. Which is good, because somehow the defensive front, which I had completely underestimated, and I think you brought this up earlier, Dale, this whole year, is pretty darn good, including kind of led off by Hendricks. Yeah, led off by Hendricks, who was
Hendrickson.
A free agent that I think a lot of people thought, ooh, buyer beware, a lot of sacks, but this is a sort of just heavy stat year, and it's probably not going to be repeatable, and there he is.
And they've been good on that D line with Hubbard, Ogunjobi, Sample, Reader. I mean, but none of them have, like, gaudy numbers at all. I mean, Hendrickson, 14 sacks. That's very respectable. No one else has 8. Like, they're not killing people, but
yeah,
they're not. You know what they're not getting put together beat this year.
The Bengals put together, like, the team of like misfit toys on the defensive side of the ball, and just basically did the thing that other teams have done in the past. Let's pick up a few guys who have failed in another place or have been mediocre for the first handful of years in their career. And let's get them in here and just see that they have talent and hope we make a hit on one of them. And I feel like they made a hit on, like, 4 of them. It really
goes back to just, like, the not being, like, they don't have crazy weaknesses. They didn't overspend at all these positions. They found guys that you can kind of find every year. You can get mid-level guys who are professionals, who are good at their job. They aren't as flashy. They aren't as high priced, but like, they're not going to get you beat either. Like, they're not liabilities.
And when you have an offense like the Bengals have, I feel like the defense has to kind of step up no matter who you are, you know?
And it gives them a break, Jim. You're right. Because if you have an offense like that, they're on the field, they put together legitimate drives. The defense gets to come in pretty consistently fresh. And it really is a little bit more of a symbiotic relationship where the defense gets to complement the offense rather than having to run the show. And I think for the most part, I think, you know, you look at the three interceptions that they pulled down in a really close Titans game. You look at how they were able to make stops against the Raiders. You look at how they came out in the second half and completely shut down the Chiefs offense that had been killing them in the first half, including that stop to end the first half right before halftime. And their defense, for the most part, has been, I mean, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but essentially carrying them through the playoffs. And the offense has been doing just what they need to do to beat the other team, to just get, you know, a point extra wherever they could.
Well, yeah, the defense also makes adjustments, which is, I know, a crazy thing to hear.
Sounds nice.
We're getting there. I just wanted to bring this up to everybody who hates the Browns coaching staff. By the way, this is a good point to bring up. Everybody who wanted to fire Joe Woods this year, everybody who is ready to fire Stefanski this year, keep in mind what the Bengals coaching staff looked like after their first 2 or 3 years in place before they made this run. So I'm not saying that means they're going to be good. I'm just saying, I think as fans, we are constantly too quick to put the hammer down on some of these guys when they're not, you know, when they have a chance to progress and change as the team changes. So
the Bengals staff has done it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Joe Woods put together a pretty good defense by the end, but it's just
that last game. That last game against the Bengals, when they had that stat that came up that said the Browns had like the 5th ranked defense, I was like, no fucking way. I'm like, that can't be accurate.
It's because they started so poorly, and you're like, God, the first 4 games of the season, they were giving up like 40 points a game.
He made adjustments, which that's, you know, as much shit as I talked and how many times that guy was the asshole of the week, I, you know, ate crow. And I was like, you know what? He fixed it. He learned.
I'm hoping you'll do that with Stefanski too, but that's not up to you. That's up to Stefanski to get his shit together and actually progress as a coach. That's what you have to do. It doesn't just come after your third year and you're just like, boom, nailed it. I'm in my stride. You have to actually.
I'm sure that asshole probably dropped. If people were questioning him, I'm sure he probably dropped. I was fucking coach of the year. What else you guys say? We're doing it my way. And you know that was a conversation out of that fucking dickhead's mouth.
I hope not. I hope not. So here's a funny page that I, or a funny retweet I had earlier that I was looking at on our Twitter page, Dale, in sort of in response to what you said, and it's shocking to me. I'm looking at it right now. It says, free agent spending over the last 2 offenses. Would anyone like to guess the difference between free agent spending between the Bengals and the Rams in the last 2 off seasons?
It's got to be astronomical for the Rams.
This is a $225 million difference.
Yeah.
You know what the more shocking part of that is? The Bengals outspent the Rams.
What?
By $225 million.
No.
In the last 2.
Because they trade. The Rams traded all their picks away. The Rams
traded all these players. That's why. It says right here, Rams have picked up 10 free agents for $36 million. The Bengals have picked up 32 free agents for $271 million, the 4th most free agent money spent in the league.
Damn.
Wow. That is not the impression that I had, because all I'm thinking is, man, the Rams just keep building and building this team and just spending all this money. And it turns out the Bengals didn't just to everybody out there who's a Bengals fan, Browns fan, Broncos fan, which is a new term I'm coining for this particular week. To everyone who thinks the Bengals just started over, drafted Joe Burrow, and then just built their way up, they did it. I don't think it's a bad idea what they did. They drafted Joe Burrow, said, hey, this is our guy, and then they just slapped the money on the table and said, free agents, Awuzie, Hendrickson, get in here, help. Let's give some contract extensions to Mixon. Let's build this money up and make a run. And goddamn, it worked. They are going to the Super Bowl. The Bengals. Oh, I know it happened once in our lifetime, but we were young at the time and they got smoked by the 49ers. But it's very much a weird thought because they've been so bad. And the years they made the playoffs, they went, 31 years without a playoff win? Even when they made it, you're like, yeah, they're toast as soon as they get in. And
Chad, I was literally thinking about this today as I was driving home from work. And I was just thinking, like, man, the team that is in the Super Bowl is a team that when we looked at our schedule, we automatically chalked up as a win. Like, when you go through the schedule, you're like, that's two wins.
Hey, you want to hear the irony? They were a win twice. We chalked them up as a win, and we were right. Everyone else chalked them up as a win. And everybody else did the same thing. They were not so fortunate. The Bengals ran through a lot of our division and a lot.
So what does that look? What does that look like then next year when we do that? Is that like automatically go from a win to an L?
I don't know. Things change so fast. I mean, as right now,
we have to look at the team.
Yeah, things change so much. They picked up so many free agents. Who knows who's coming and going? I keep thinking as I'm watching this coaching search, I keep reminding myself these coaches are getting hired. They're stealing coordinators and position coaches from other teams. And I forget how much changes each season because the Patriots screwed up the NFL by being so consistently good with Tom Brady for so long. And you got used to, every year or the AFC championship. I forget that the way it's supposed to be is this is going to change all the time.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But you're right. If I were doing the schedule game right now, I'm chalking the Bengals up as better than us right now. I don't know how long it's going to take for Baker to recover and what he'll look like when he's done. And there's no reason for me to think that the Bengals train is slowing down at Cleveland Station. They're going to try to roll right through us next year.
Yeah. I will say the Rams better pray to God they win the Super Bowl because in like 2 years, that team is going to be garbage.
I would say the difference between those two teams, even given the money the Rams are spending, and the difference is the Rams are an older team and the Bengals are not. They've got some free agents in there with experience. They're not young.
The Rams are the Lakers.
Their core is young. And the Rams core is not only old, but some free agents popping up in there, including one Odell Beckham Jr. How are you guys feeling about this matchup? Are you going to be – I'm struggling with the fact that I have been watching the Rams and I'm kind of a Rams guy, and it kind of works for me because I don't really want the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I don't want to deal with Bengals fans throwing that in my face for who knows how long. But it is going to be tough to – it's been tough already to watch how well Odell Beckham Jr. is playing and score a touchdown and you cheer and then you're like, ugh. I totally screwed over my other team, my primary team.
What drives me nuts, and I know Chip has touched on it, is that he is getting all the attention, but Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the fucking league.
Oh my God. I saw a picture today that said, is there any better trio in the league? And it was, I think, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Odell Beckham Jr. And can you imagine the front of that pyramid is Odell Beckham. And then behind him to one side is Cooper Kupp and behind him to the other side is Van. And I was like, this cannot be real. Yeah. Are you seriously putting Odell in the front of this trio? Jesus, they got 3/4 of the way here before he was even on the team. And Cooper Kupp is the number one rated receiver in the league, both on PFF and in almost every statistical category there is.
Yeah.
How does this happen, guys?
It's just the media boner for Odell.
Why? He hasn't had a good year in so long.
He's a charismatic guy, and he's Mr. Hollywood, man. Like, that's,
I'm telling you,
it's annoying, but
man, he is just, I remember when it came to Cleveland, they're like, the media is going to follow him. And it's like, it's not even his fault. They go to him for everything. They put him in the front of pictures. They do the end of the game interview with him, even if another player on his team scored 3 touchdowns. It's just, yeah, it's absurd. But he is potential for a good matchup, though, because assuming Awuzie, well, I don't know, Awuzie might actually be covering him because Cup spends a lot of time coming out of the slot, and I don't think that's where that matchup's going to be. Another big story we haven't even talked about yet is Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Man, guys, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good back and forth about, hey, he just got them basically where Jared Goff got them. A lot of his numbers this season were comparable, but I think the difference you'll see is in the playoffs so far, Stafford has kind of impressed me with the ability to keep the team steady, score touchdowns when they're down, run big plays when they're needed the most.
Well, the one thing I look at too with Stafford is, I mean, the dude obviously has something because his first year out of Detroit, he goes to the Super Bowl. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think he's been putting up numbers for years, and I've always just wondered. So for me, there's two main things I look at for a quarterback. Number one is just the statistical categories of yardage per attempt, completion percentage, and then touchdown interception ratio. Those are always important to me, and I think they're a really good telling story of some of the best quarterbacks. But then the only thing that separates some of those guys that are always in those statistical categories from the other guys who don't win playoff games and don't win Super Bowls is just that factor of playing your best ball in crunch time. And I think that carries over to a lot of sports. There's some hitters in baseball that can do it. There's definitely basketball players that can do it. You know, their 3-point percentage just goes up in the fourth quarter. It's just a thing. And in football, I think at the quarterback position, there's some guys, the best example is obviously Tom Brady, who can look just mediocre, above average, or pretty good through the year. But when it's the fourth quarter, when they're down, or when it's a playoff game, they just look their best, and all those things just add up. And I think Stafford has shown me a lot in that category, as is Joe Burrow. Disappointingly, Joe Burrow has been great in crunch time. He's been great when they need to play, but Stafford was more of my question mark because he's always had the other stats, but I haven't seen him be able to do special things since early in his career. And I didn't know if that was just Detroit fatigue, or if that was just he doesn't have it. And right now he kind of looks like he's got it.
I think a big part of it is, like, he's never been on a stage to show it.
That is, like, a terrific point.
He doesn't get those opportunities. Like, you see him, like, do you remember the game, like, that we had locked up against them? Like, I think he dislocated his shoulder or broke his cup. Like, first year, we ruined him.
I think he threw a pass back and he was like, I got this.
He's like, yeah, I got it.
He couldn't even move his arm, and he threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, they were like, the linemen were like helping him down the field as he was like taking snaps.
Yeah, he's like a tough
kid. Murdering our souls.
Cat's really rooting for him because he's had a pretty tough career so far. And of course, he's a Georgia guy. So she's been rooting for him to get some chance to do something.
Didn't his wife have like brain cancer or a brain tumor or something like that?
Ooh, too? I don't know.
Yeah. It was something like that. She had a pretty rough surgery and, mm-hmm. and quite a long bit of therapy. It was really serious and unexpected.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years
ago. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I like Matt Stafford and I'm rooting for him, but I hate the fact that he's on the Rams. I don't know. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. But it brings up a good point, you guys. Like you said, they've been pretty fun football. So living out here, I have the exact opposite story of you, Jim. If I happen to be home and I put on local TV after the Browns game finishes, if I get home and throw on TV, it's probably the Rams that are on TV.
Yeah, you'll at least get something exciting to watch, you know.
Yeah, and they've been good football, and it's been really good. I've been watching them for a couple of years now, and it's been really fun. So Yeah, it's been good. So it's the same story, kind of just the opposite part of the country where it's like, that's the game I see. It looks really good. I also happen to be super pissed about the Chargers leaving. And I think it makes a huge difference to just get jaded and start rooting for the other team whose stadium they play in.
Did it, not to switch gears or anything here or hijack anything, but did any of you guys watch the Pro Bowl?
No, I watched a bunch of the like clips and highlights of the skills competition just because they were hilarious, and watching Diggs catch a ball through a table was pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
I think that I'm all for the skills competition because Pro Bowl football is just not good football. So anything
it was awful. I saw the highlights.
They were playing touch, right?
Awful.
Usually.
I actually
No, like they were literally just like two hand touching and like you stopped. It didn't count.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I honestly did not watch it, and I haven't watched one for years, and do not feel like I'm missing anything.
I purposefully stopped like a decade ago because my whole like plan was like, I'm like, no, if I watch this, then it encourages you to keep doing it.
Yeah. I saw a post would be, whoever wrote it had an awesome idea. Instead of like just completely get rid of the Pro Bowl, don't have it, and have the two last place teams play for the first pick.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I would watch that shit all the time.
Did you get by the way, and we'll get into this in another podcast because it's not a good podcast for today, but there has been a ton of talk following this scandal with Flores for the secondary portion of that lawsuit about teams encouraging coaches and actually paying coaches to tank and lose. And again, we won't get into it this time unless we have time at the end, but it has spun off just this giant talk about changing the way that draft picks are giving out and doing something similar to the NBA by giving like five lottery picks and letting the bottom five teams just have a chance at the first pick. Teams not to try to come in last place at the end of the season, especially. And at this point, because of what you described, that like there's other better ideas and ways to do it. Like I would take so many different ways to let a team get a first pick than just a pure tank, mostly because it never worked for my team anyway.
There was just an article about, was it Carmen Policy? How he said that when the Browns were coming back in, that they were never really given a fair shake at anything, and the NFL kind of screwed them over.
A little bit. I've heard that story.
Yeah.
Terry Pluto, I think, wrote a good story about that, about how a normal NFL expansion franchise is put together, and because the NFL was trying to rush the Browns franchise and get them going as soon as possible, they cut a ton of corners, including the timetable they had for building a stadium, building a staff, getting into a draft and scouting and putting together appropriate plans. And that basically started them so far behind that they just ended up in this terrible cycle of being bad, firing everybody and starting over for a decade and a half before they finally started to just slow it down. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one, but yeah, we got so far off base there, but let's move it back. Let's move back to the game real quick. We don't have a lot more to say. I think everybody has been overfed this game anyway, but yeah. I think it's two fun teams. I'm thankful. I thought I was just rooting against the Bengals for the most part to not make it this far. I don't really want anyone in the AFC North to succeed, but again, they've been fun. They're an amazing story. I did not feel bad at all when they beat the Chiefs because it was such an amazing feat. I just was like, wow, that was awesome. I don't hate on the Rams as much as most of Cleveland, but I don't blame anybody who does because LA can really piss you off, and Odell Beckham Jr. by himself is enough to root against. But again, I felt pretty good about that win, and I'm excited that this is the team's. I would have loved the 49ers because I know the Bengals have played them twice in the Super Bowl before, and that just would have been really weird. But this is going to be a good Super Bowl. I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah. I'm excited for the entertainment value.
Yeah. I'm really hoping we just have a shootout. Like I want I don't want any scenario where like the Bengals line turns into tissue paper and like,
honestly, and the like defenses Burrow's are like so good dying. Too, but this might be like, just a very well balanced football game. You're right. Like the defensive line against the offensive line of the Bengals is terrifying.
If Burrow goes out in this game, I'm turning the TV off.
Like there's a Broncos Super Bowl scenario. Like it is within the range of outcomes.
Yeah, I see it.
The Rams score. We have strip sack touch. There's a lot of options where all of a sudden it's not unlike the Chiefs where it's 21-0 quick. And it just, that would be so gross.
Yeah. At least if it's 21-0, the announcers will be able to say, "Hey, we saw this last week. Everyone stay tuned."
Right. But
what about, before we get off the Super Bowl, I have two fun facts. Well, I have a fun fact and I have a question. My fun fact is, there was a trope everybody kind of knows about defenses wins championships. I've never totally agreed with that. I think that's old. That's old thought. But I saw a great statistic this week that between the years of 2013, I know it's an odd year. I hate when they do this. Between the years of 2013 and 2021, every single Super Bowl winner has ranked in the top 10 in scoring defense that year. So it's not necessarily defense, it's scoring defense, which is not what it sounds like. It's not your defense getting turnovers and scoring. It's your defense stopping the other team from scoring. So it's essentially all of these teams, all of these Super Bowl winners were top 10 in stopping opponent scoring. And it's really interesting in this game because when you think of that, you think, I know it's weird years. 2013 and 2021 sounds like they picked out the years that the statistic fit the best with, but it's too many years to call a coincidence having those eight years in a row. And luck be it that the Rams and the Bengals both finish this year and scoring defense, which means no matter what, whichever team wins this game, that statistic will continue. And I found that to be super fascinating that there actually is a statistic that's that standout that in the last, 8 years or whatever, every single Super Bowl team has been top 10 in not allowing the opponent to score, not how many yards they give up or anything like that, but just pure points against. And so it's going to happen again. They are ranked this year. I believe the Bengals are ranked 8th in total defense. And I believe the Bengals are ranked 8th. I believe the Rams are ranked 7th.
That's pretty interesting.
So next time someone says defense wins championships, you can kind of say, sort of. I mean, pretty much a great quarterback. And it's hard. You could take that same time period and basically say every Super Bowl winner but two are Hall of Fame quarterbacks too. So there's also other things to it. But that's pretty amazing that long. The other part of the statistic was 47 of the last 54 winners also were at the top of scoring defense. And of the 108 teams that have reached the Super Bowl ever, 89 of them were top 10 scoring defense. So it's not just a recent stat, but it is pretty impressive. And it pretty much tells you if you're a GM, how you have to build a team if this is your end goal, which it better be, unless you're apparently the old Browns or the Dolphins. And then my last take on the Super Bowl, I want to know what you guys are thinking about the halftime show.
I think it's going to be pretty cool. I don't know. There's a few that I can care less about, like Kendrick Lamar. I don't really care.
Disagree. I'm not on the same page because I think Kendrick Lamar, I don't love him. I think he's the only really good rapper I think he's the best rapper of the last decade. And I'm a big rap was amazing in the 90s. It faded a little in the 2000s. I even love throwing back to 80s rap kind of before my time is listening to that kind of music. but you get through the 2000s and it just starts to get pretty bad. And the only guy I think kind of holds up is Kendrick Lamar. That's why I was pretty impressed that he made it into that mix. But I agree, it's better. It was better before.
I'm pretty intrigued to see. I love the props and some of the gambling stuff around it, but I'm interested to see how they blend it all together. I think it's going to be a lot better considering that most everyone's from the same genre and we're not dealing with like, oh, let's mix Backstreet Boys and Aerosmith.
That is a, like, I forgot they always do that, like, but that's a good point.
They always just like cram in. They're like, oh, we have Eric Clapton and here is Cisco. It's like, oh, come on. Like,
the hell is
like, stop trying to appease everybody. Like, just get good musicians and leave them alone and let them do whatever they want to do. Like, just let them do whatever they want to do.
So, Jim, you're not super hyped about Kendrick, which is fine because you might not have even been listening to rap in the last, you know, 10 years. That's totally relevant for people our age. But who out of that mix of Mary J. Blige, Eminem, Snoop, and Dre, are you kind of are you excited for?
Probably more Snoop.
I know, it's Snoop, right? It's definitely Snoop.
It's like a generally, somebody was talking about it and they were saying like the allure of Snoop Dogg, like he's probably one of the most loved humans on the planet. Like,
I feel like Snoop Dogg is a rapper that anybody, I mean, Martha Stewart has a thing with Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg is a rapper that just transcends hip hop music altogether. And is just this
pop, but it's culture insane, icon. Dude. Like, he's murdered somebody before.
Probably.
allegedly. To our pre-pod conversation, like, he has a CryptoPunk with a blue bandana.
Yeah. Like dude is a gangster, like, that has murdered.
This is the year that we are in where a former legitimate gang member turned rapper, like
it's where every mobile, white person actually
everything,
likes
everything. Yeah, like, he has done
he
everything.
He definitely covers women. He covers everybody, white,
like,
black,
everything Asian. Successful. He
he's also done. Such a huge football guy. I feel like there will be something like he's going to be out there in a Steelers jersey. I just know it. What a dick!
I'm interested in that. Like, is he going to come out with him. Like? A Raiders or a like, is he gonna come out with like a Rams jersey and a terrible towel?
He'll wear Rams.
We'll see. Yeah, that'll be curious. That's probably a prop bet.
Well, okay. Yeah. Prop bet. I got $10. He has a terrible towel at some point.
I'm saying Steelers gear. Yeah, I'm saying Steelers gear.
I'm taking Rams. I'll take Rams.
Okay. Okay.
That's what those LA assholes do. Front run those motherfuckers.
I just think too, like, but he, he's great. And, but on your point of some of these rappers and stuff, you know, thinking of where Ice-T is at, thinking of where Ice Cube is at, it's really funny how some of these guys have turned their career into
Ice Cube just wrapped at a NASCAR race, Chad.
Did he really?
Yeah. They had the, they had
awesome.
They had the clash at the LA Coliseum, which was the first time ever. And, dude, it was so bad how hard they were trying to sell it. And they had Ice Cube rapping.
Actually, I would listen to some Ice Cube rap. That would be pretty fun. He's like a storytelling rapper from like way back where he just starts rapping like his day on the streets is all of the lyrics. He's just telling what's going on. You know what makes sets Snoop Dogg apart from the rest of these rappers? All of these other rappers, you know, kind of got legitimate careers as producers, things like that. But a lot of them rolled into a career in acting. And I swear a majority of them go straight to TV and play police officers and things like that. And I got to tell you, Snoop Dogg, if he's in a movie, he's going to be some kind of either like street cat or like a snitch, or he's going to be a mobster. He's going to be some kind of gangster. Snoop Dogg is keeping
it
real.
Pothead. He's always a pothead.
Yeah, or he'll be a pothead. He's going to be something that is pretty much Snoop Dogg playing Snoop Dogg.
Himself.
And yeah. And whereas like Ice-T's like, I'm the chief of police. And Ice Cube's like, I'm a part of the investigation unit. And it's like, no, Snoop's like, nah, dude, I'm smoking weed on the streets. And some cop comes up to me and asks me what's going on. I'm like, hey, get out of here. It's like, it's just like a very much like, I'm just going to stay playing the role of Snoop Dogg in all movies and appearances. I love it. And also Doggy Style, for those of you who don't know, not
only best rap album ever.
Yeah. Not only made Chad's particular top 50 rap albums of all time, it's also my particular favorite rap album of all time. Go ahead, try to convince me otherwise. I've listened to all of them.
You can't.
I will say I'm interested to see Dre perform, just because I haven't in so long. Like, he's been doing mm-hmm. so many other things.
He looks like old, man.
Running billion-dollar businesses.
Old. You're right.
Like, I haven't seen him really out there as much because he's too busy making so much more money.
Yeah, they're all mogul, man. All these guys turned, all these like NWA era guys turned themselves into like
billionaires.
Just mogul. They're just producers, they're actors, they run the brand lines. They are, whew, man, they did it right.
You said it right. Like, cultural icon is very much the appropriate term.
Yeah.
And they turn that into so many different businesses. Like, nobody else has, from like, say, starting from the music industry, like from any genre. Like, yeah, Kiss made a lot of money because they sold like a bunch of dumb action figures and bullshit. Like, great. Good job.
Merch.
But like, no one in any other genre of music has made themselves that much money doing so many different things. Like, Beats by Dre sold to Apple. Like, I don't know if everyone remembers that happened. Like,
yeah, an
insane amount of money. But like, yeah, like, these guys have just absolutely killed it. So it's funny to think of them as like these obscene millionaires from all these other ventures. And they're like, well, I guess they don't really have much going on, so they'll just rap again something they used to do 40 years ago.
Not even that. Super Bowl. They get on someone else's as like a cameo or some shit.
Which, I'm joking, it wasn't 40 years ago because it's still 2000 and the 80s. No, but it's seriously
like you said the other day, man, 20 years ago should be 1985.
It always will be. It's not. It will never change. It's not.
But it's funny because at the same time, you start thinking, oh, these guys are so old. They must have been around forever. And they're like, oh, no, that means we're so old and we've been around forever.
No.
Wait till you go to that when we were young or when you were young festival.
Just
wait.
Oh, my gosh.
Just wait. Seriously.
I was so excited for that. I don't think we're going to make it, man. Unless we can find tickets for the actual weekend it's supposed to be. Because they tried to move us to Halloween and we can't do it. I would have done it.
We missed out on the emo cruise.
Yeah, I would have loved to been a fake emo kid for a 20 years older emo kid for just a weekend. It'd have been awesome.
Straightener and eyeliner, Jim. Let's go.
I saw a meme about that, and it was like the poster that they had, and then the next one was like two guys in like the CDC like containment suits or whatever, saying like, and that's how the Emocron variant was formed.
Dude, I'll tell you what I'll dye what's left of my hair black, and I will get out there and risk it. Okay, so before we go out, we're gonna do one chunk of this Browns thing that I've been waiting to do forever, because we're gonna come back to it later, but I kind of wanted your opinion while the two of you are on here.
Yeah.
So Super Bowl's covered. I got one chunk of Brown stuff. We have the unrestricted free agent list. We'll go into all the cap stuff later because it's a big one. And we'll even get into Senior Bowl stuff as we get into scouting and the combine prep and all that stuff. So I'm not super, super worried about that. But I did want to get into this because it will lead kind of into our offseason talk for next week. I wanted to just do one thumb up, two thumb up, or two thumbs down on this list of Browns free agents that we got, because the deadline to re-sign them or let them walk into free agency is going to be, I think, the beginning of March. Might even be the end of February. And so this will be guys we're talking about in the off, in what's the actual off season pods. It's definitely Cleveland off season right now, but it's still actually football for those of you paying attention. So this will lead us into the actual off season pod. So just wanted to quickly go through these couple names and tell me you guys just one, like thumb up, thumb down, which is kind of, yeah, keep them, but let's not make a big deal of it. Two thumbs up, kind of a must. Or two thumbs down, I could care less. Let's let him move on. All right. Number one on the list, I think, is got to be Jadeveon Clowney.
I'm two thumbs up. I'm go for it. I love to see his motor out there with Garrett on the other side. He's almost 29, but like that's not.
Von Miller gives you a little faith. Yeah, Von Miller gives you a little feeling like, ooh, not too bad. What do you think, Jim?
Two up for me, just because you got to get Myles Garrett help, man. The guy can't do everything.
Me too, and I don't want to have to try to draft some guy at 13 to fill that spot when I think he can do it for at least another couple of years if you can get him on a one, 2, or 3-year deal.
Myles Garrett's eventually going to get pissed off and want out if he's got to do everything himself.
I'm going to make this a 6-thumb-up guy for us because – I also agree that he's got to be top of the list of guys you re-sign.
Yeah.
And just to – I know we're going to get into it later, but we just for clarity for everyone who's listening, we're 12th in the league in available cap space. So
– yeah, higher than you think. We have like the highest paid offensive
line, but we have money. We're in a good space.
Yeah.
Safe space.
All right. Yeah, you're right. People aren't paying much attention to it, but the Browns are going to have some money to spend in the offseason. And we'll talk about it in that cap space pod. But there's 2 or 3 players on this team who are not what I would call an absolute necessity, who you can drop, and it could open up to like 25
Chase McLaughlin. Million.
Chase McLaughlin. It could open up to like 25 million by dropping a couple of these guys. So we'll see. Next, David Njoku.
2 thumbs up.
Definite keeper.
Yeah, get rid of. I agree. Austin Hooper, he's trash.
Yeah, I don't know if we can get rid of Austin Hooper, but I think he's only got one more guaranteed year.
I was gonna say one, but
restructure him or something, man, because he's fucking us.
You could try. I think Njoku is a better option, and I'm going 2 thumbs up because long after Hooper's gone, I think Njoku will still be hitting his prime.
Yeah,
he's only. And he seems only like 25. He wants to stay.
Yeah,
he does now. It's a big switch.
That's important to me.
Yeah, it's a big switch. He went from get me out of here to, you know, I'm playing well here. I'm developing here. I've got my guys here. Let's go. So I'm gonna give him 2. Also, what do you think, Dale?
I was gonna go 1, but like either way, like keep him. It's not gonna kill us. And he's 25.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He's got a lot of room. I brought up the point on Twitter earlier when some guy said, we really need a guy like Kittle. I brought up the point that Kittle kind of broke out at age 25, and he's 28 going on 29 now. But, you know, we've thought of Kittle over just the last 3-4 years, and Njoku's just hitting that age now. So it's like, wow, he's, you know, there's still plenty of room for him to get going.
As always with tight ends.
Harrison.
I'll
just
open
up. I'm a one. I just think better than trying to have to find safety depth. If you can get, he's going to be a decent deal because he didn't have an amazing year. I'm a 1-thumb guy for this one.
It's very much contract dependent for me. He's so young. Like I'm all in on like a prove it deal.
Is he young?
Yeah, he's not even young. He's 24.
I
honestly, I didn't realize that. If you would have told me he was 27, I would have believed you.
Remember what a big deal was, because the Browns got him for like a low pick, what, like a 6th round pick or something pretty low. And it was like they got a guy who hasn't even hit his prime yet. They just he was dropped.
Yeah, the Jags dumped him like in the second
year. For like 3 years. Yeah. It's not enough. So I think he still has a lot of room to grow. And if he can get consistent with this team, I think he's a pretty good player. I'm going to give him 1 thumb.
And after last year, he's not going to demand a high salary.
Right. He's going to be an easy player to sign. And it better to keep some consistency with this defense. You know, he played well here. and he was just kind of up and down this year, but he played well the year before. And I think getting him back out there, it would be a nice bump for us. Okay. What about Hubbard? Some of you might remember him. He will be a free agent. He's coming off the injury. So
yeah, that's tough. He's going to be 31 here pretty soon. I don't have a good hot take.
One down.
Yeah. I'm saying kind of, we could really use some line depth. And I think he had an injury that I think is something you can come back from. So I think at the right price, I'll give him one thumb. I don't think he's worth dumping because he can play both sides and we've had some tackle issues, but I'm saying kind of one thumb.
I do like the idea of just the line being consistent. And I know we talked about this before offline, like we have the highest paid positional coach in the league with our offensive line coach.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's a good point. We can keep things consistent and maybe add depth while leaving him in place, that makes sense. But we also have the cash. I haven't looked elsewhere.
Coming off that injury.
Yeah, I haven't looked elsewhere to see who's available on the overall market. So I wouldn't be opposed to it, but not at – it's going to be a short-term deal. He'll be 31 here pretty soon.
Right. It'll be like a one-year deal maybe, if nothing. Let's keep rolling on. We got just two or three more minutes here. Higgins, this is a tricky one for me.
I'm
good
okay.
Year is freshman year, bad year is sophomore year, good his pass. Third year, bad his fourth year. You're gonna say zero, two thumbs down. How many thumbs up you got, Jim?
I mean, I'll go one thumb down. I'm not like, if we resigned him, I would not be mad.
I don't know what's up with him. That he seems like sometimes he's just great, and then sometimes it seems like the coaches hate him, and I don't know what it is. But
here's the thing: you're a 27-year-old wide receiver. Like I know I keep mentioning age with all of these guys, but it matters with some of these positions. Yeah. And wide receiver, like at 27, you are who you are. Like hope or projections were gone 2 years ago. Yeah.
I don't think he's developing any. I would take him at his talent level, especially because I think there could be some problems with Jarvis Landry. Even if Jarvis is back, he's old. So I would keep him just because we don't have Odell now, and it's going to be a matter of we can only draft so many guys. So I would be okay with one thumb keeping him, but I wouldn't go very deep in for him.
Yeah, I'm a one down on him. I could care less if he stays or goes. Like just because you said the inconsistency, move on.
What about MJ Stewart? Pretty strong backup safety. Ooh, we're getting a lot of feedback here. Pretty strong backup safety. We had a pretty strong backup safety and cornerback.
No, Chad, we're gonna have to.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that's a no-go.
That was it pretty bad over there? I can't hear it.
Yeah, it's just kicked on.
Yeah, it's getting me pretty good.
Uh-oh, guys. I don't know what's going on, but apparently this is the end of the podcast. We'll have to come back to this. hit us up on Twitter, Coast, the number 2, Coast X3, and like and subscribe to the podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify. We could really use some consistency going into the off season so we know what we're working with, and we really want some fan feedback so we can get some topics going. So we'll come back to this next time. This is going to be a quick breakdown anyway. Anything else you guys have to throw in?
Yeah, just come back next time for the rest of the MJ Stewart breakdown. And if you have any questions, we haven't really done any.
No.
Gonna have to cut all of that. if anyone has any questions that they want us to answer, go ahead and tweet at Coast the number 2 Coast X3 at Twitter and let us know if you have any questions. Maybe we can take a couple of those on the next one.
Yeah, questions, comments, or crap talk. I'll take it all.
Yeah. Should talk us a little bit. It's fine. All right, guys, you can hear our satellites are going down and we are losing signal fast. So this is a pretty good breaking point. We almost made it. And we will catch you guys in a week to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl breakdown and move on to the offseason. All right. Till the next time.
See you in the offseason.
Later.